Paradigm, a trilogy about the future of cultural production. Part 1, Avant-Garde and Kitsch, New York, September 2021. Chapter 1, How Stalin Predicted TikTok in 1938. In capitalist society, there is an inherent tendency for the attention span of each successive generation to diminish as the experience of alienation increases. New film and musical forms are pulverizing all content into tinier, more purely sensational fragments. Nothing with greater complexity than an advertising brochure can be understood even by privileged bourgeois youth. In movies intended for adolescent audiences, directors will soon be limiting each shot to 5-second duration at longest and then cutting back from there. Chapter 2, The New Creative Paradigm. Facing the last stages of late capitalism, we predict the dawn of a new way of working for the creative class. Visual direction, PowerPoint infographic wars ics the Bible. Text by Kay Kasperhauser and Katharina Korpion. The landscape that fostered postmodern cultural creation is in flames. If we are able to evolve, this fire will raise a forest whose dead roots cling to a dead system, and from its ashes will rise a new creative paradigm. If we refuse, we will be left speaking a dead language to no one in the dark. The internet has ushered in a new age, a faster digital reality that speaks to more people more loudly. For tech and startups, it's easy. The language of this world is their own, and the rules are the ones they have made themselves. But traditional players of cultural production, like fashion, remain wary of adapting to the change that digital natives embody. First steps were taken, tapping into non-seasonal cycles and job models, digital advertising, and more diverse modes of content creation. The systems of power, for the most part, however, have stayed intact. We worked on our infrastructure and our distribution, but one part remained untouched. We didn't change the way we think about ourselves. A new fluency is necessary. We must convert or be condemned. Adapt or die. 1. Internet is real time, analog is slow motion. The internet is the new real time. Reality is happening here. Subcultures formerly residing in the streets can now be found in Reddit threads and private chats. Streetwear will soon be replaced by internet wear. The analog interprets the digital in slow motion. From setting the agenda to interpreting the agenda. Humans, unable to cope with the speed at which information is presented, burn out. Analog magazines that don't shift gears shut down. Maybe you should just be a newsletter. 2. Approachability versus exclusivity. The battle between being accessible, woke, and believing in a better world versus creating desire through exclusivity, gatekeeping, and making money is reaching prime time. This tension reflects our internal individual struggle of being fluid, stylists, creative directors, DJs, all at once, and the commercial drive to act territorial about our identity. The success of the individual genius is outdated. Time to examine how to make non-territorial wokeness profitable. The death of the collaboration. When Balenciaga x Gucci doesn't raise eyebrows, you know that collaborations are over. Two entities would meet to slap logos on each other. The collaboration seemingly ended with its announcement. Hot air printed on a Gildan hoodie, all PR, little substance. In the age of fluidity, stacking identities feels entirely retro. We've entered the endgame of postmodernism, where there are no longer any opposites and merging identities is normal, if not to say expected. Post-startup lingo. Startup lingo slaughtered Lux brand communications with slogans screaming, "Look how accessible this is!" Forcing function via messages of goodness, proclaimed authenticity and the commodification of our quirks, patronizing a woke consumer with subway ads like, "Saving money with honey feels like when you notice a typo on a poster and are super proud of yourself. Wake up, honey, you're not a VC bro." Post-authenticity mode. Trump and a global pandemic lifted the veil on our romantic little idea of authenticity. In an inherently mediated world. The opposite of authentic, the escape from what's real, fake furs, live on Instagram, virtual reality, proved to be better than authentic. We enter meaning mode. Presented with 10 versions of the truth, we choose what we want to believe. Does this fit into my version of self? regardless of real or fake. Your shopping cart signals personal values and affiliation with communities. Are brands the equivalent of band t-shirts now? Payback time. Fashion equals art, tech, cars. Art, tech, cars equal fashion. Fashion stole from everything and everyone. Now everyone is stealing from fashion. Fashion as an industry became more about marketing and less about the craft. When Ferrari can drop a clothing line, we have to wonder, what does it mean to be a fashion brand today? Will designers drop in and out of mattress brands, IKEA and Toyota? Is Toyota the new Balenciaga? What do we have left to defend the fortress? Open source versus authorship. Power in the new creative paradigm belongs to those who share. In 2019, the New York labels Vaquera, CDLM, and Section 8 presented their collections at the same venue seamlessly, one after the other. They shared audience, resources, energy, and communications, positioning themselves as individuals that are part of a like-minded collective. Think Taylor Swift Squad, but without Taylor. Don't gatekeep knowledge. Ideas and resources shouldn't be taken personally. That's the mantra on our way to a higher energetic frequency of the mob. Creators are brands. Creators don't need brands anymore. They have grown an audience of supporters for themselves online. Influencers starting beauty lines, designers tagged as individuals under brand Instagram posts indicate a power shift from brands to creators, foreshadowing a radical change in the way we work. Brands are playgrounds. Brands don't create culture anymore. They act as playgrounds, new mixtures of content, social media, and commerce, providing the tools, access to the archive, materials, and infrastructure for creatives to come in and out. Think communist workshop. The community as patron. Before the rise of multiplayer games, YouTube comments, and Substack, identity formation was a public business. A brand would put out a collection deciding what the trend was. Now communities of friends, squads, and content creators are shaping their own identities in niche ways. Platforms like Patreon allow them to monetize their ideas independently from corporate conglomerates. The TV show slogan of Big Brother, "You Decide," perfectly captures the mode of control by feedback, a new economic system in which communities inherit the power that once belonged to brands. So, how does this new system work? A creator is a brand with X amount of subscribers. He interacts with his community directly through a content platform, sharing his process and exclusive paywall content. Currency is belief. The payment comes from people, the community, who support the creator, the brand, and not the brand that is just a playground and a temporary workshop for the creator. Value of money is replaced by value of belief, ergo the value of a brand is the value of subscribers. Finally, the people are getting what they want. Culturally productive alchemy. Don't explain the concept, be the concept. Doing the work versus talking about it. The medium is the message. Deduct literalism. Identity is merch. What late capitalism repeats from Stalinism is the valuing of symbols of achievement over actual achievement, said Mark Fisher. In the new creative paradigm, collaboration is about merging identities to advance. Do the right thing, give up your idea of self to create the new. Mimification of communication. A persistently shrinking attention span is no excuse for trivial content. We have to update our communication style. Memes deliver complex ideas in a bite-sized format, a good example of how communication can be both brief and deep. Recently, infographics designed not to be understood surfaced in magazines like Pinup and the New York Gazette Civilization. A statement of infobesity and the world working in ways that we'll never fully wrap our head around. In short, a graphic flex. Ask yourself, am I contributing or masturbating? Read a McKinsey report, maybe, or just look at the iceberg model of communications one more time. Democratic inform dictatorial indirection. Niche pockets of interest, hyper-focused support groups demand clear directions. We left the era of pleasing everyone and are back to please the few. In short, choose your values and stick to them unapologetically. Having balls, being radical, is highly rewarded. Art as identifier. Our participation in a community is valued higher than the products it creates. Products are tokens of shared beliefs, physical expressions of online tribes. What we purchase is what we stand for, whether that is through physical procession or digital participation. Our job as public service broadcasters is to take people beyond the limits of their own self. And until we do that, we will carry on declining. It doesn't mean we go back to the 1950s and tell people how to dress. What we do is say, we can free you from yourself, and people would love that, said Adam Curtis. Chapter 3. Open Source is God. When a monkey took a selfie by accident, he launched a global copyright dispute, which the US Copyright Office ended, stating that photos taken by animals have no copyright, nor do photos taken by God. Following this logic, we have to conclude that open source is the voice of God. Jokes aside, for more information on the open source approach and movement, please read Aaron Swartz's Open Source Guerrilla Manifesto, available to all online. Chapter 4. The High and Low Trend Forecast. Forecaster Biz Sherbert predicts trends of high and low culture. Visual direction, we make them look like New York Magazine's approval matrix on K. Let the class angst begin. We see a graph with four axes, lowbrow, highbrow, despicable, and brilliant. These are the parameters by which we organize our predictions. Lowbrow, despicable. Talking about AI feels very Barstool Sports in 2021. Ornately strappy clothes, the emratification of the average woman will reach peak. Rookie Mac, Riot Girl twee, mainstream pop is now a Petra Collins production. Wanting to go to space, only rich people can do it, but no one's as obsessed with it as those who can't. Lily Pulitzer, Avon Basic grows up and gets a tech-adjacent boyfriend. Lowbrow brilliant, going to art school more mainstream than playing football at your state school. More radical honesty, bearing it all online as a currency, but one with serious inflation. TikTok theory, learning about philosophy is the new reading The Secret, unfortunately. Majoring in computer science feels very getting your real estate license in 2006, but only vibrationally. Using cool fonts for no reason, a populist outgrowth of the infographic wars. Accessories that look like Play-Doh clonking down from the Bottega cloud. Highbrow, despicable. Saying you're not really into politics, remember when? Phobia of astroturfing, the people smell fake realness a mile away. Being absolutely basic. Avant-garde lies in post-alt indistinction, skinny jeans. Going to church and having kids, devotion is antithetical to the accelerated trend cycle. Stuffy furniture, musty fainting couches, rotting grandfather clocks, bubbly Instagram sofas, fragola mirrors. Internet esotericism, tweeting in runes like you have nothing to lose, you don't. Not pretending to be a starving artist, own up to your bloodline. Highbrow brilliant. Quiet but mentionable anorexia has been merrily dwelling in the shadows. Asceticism is making a formal debut alongside post-COVID hedonism. Sweating a lot and not caring, perspiration is the final frontier in bodily embarrassment. Sweating a lot and not caring, perspiration is the final frontier in bodily embarrassment. Lying online, creating impossible lorry raids, notes app callouts, cancellations. Business cards, post-digital breadcrumbs are in. Graffiti pencils, much-needed smudginess after years of Muji pens. Unfinished business, projects that stay conceptual forever, are a luxury that can never flop. Chapter 5. Reference Dump. We asked leading creatives to share their references in one picture. Stylist Charlotte Collette sends an assemblage of a giant horizontal bookshelf. Aveugle by Sophie Kahl, The Europeans by Tina Barnet, a Walter Pfeiffer monograph stand out. Curator K.O. Namdi photographs an ethereally spirited table with different memorabilia, including stones, notes, a drawing, Julian Schnabel's Permanently Becoming in the Architecture of Seeing, and the book No One is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood. Creative director Benjamin Grillen shares a picture of his London office in 2020, where his publication, The Colour Journal, The Blue Issue, is mounted onto the wall. Work in progress.
Artist Tom Sachs posts 5 required readings: Sentences on Conceptual Art by Saul Hewitt, Endurance, Shackleton's Incredible Journey by Alfred Lansing, Grapefruit by Yoko Ono, Anatomy of Strength Training, 24 Rules of Filmmaking, Werner Herzog. Kanye West reveals some of his coffee table books: Leonardo da Vinci, The Complete Paintings and Drawings by Frank Zöllner, Matthew Barnes and Elizabeth Payton's Blood of Two, James Turrell, A Retrospective, Axel Vervoort, Portraits of Interiors published by Flammarion, Claudio Silvestrin, The Non-Materiality of the Material. Schiaparelli's artistic director Daniel Roseberry shares a picture from his sketching table: Sennelier crayons, paper sketches, paper cutouts, a modern Maharaja monograph, the Met monograph about time, fashion, and duration, and an exhibition catalogue of Luchita Hurtado's I Live, I Die, I Will Be Reborn.
Architect Claudio Silvestrin gives insight into his office, an essential space designed for pure focus and creation. The Gnostic Bible and La Bibbia di Gerusalemme are sitting on his desk. Photographer and collector The Image Guy, Piotr Nipsui, showcases a stack of books next to his wired MacBook, donning a sticker of the online platform New Models and another one saying nothing happens. He says,
"Asking anybody into photography and with a collection of probably thousands of books about his or her inspirations as kind of a conversation starter that doesn't really start any conversation. I mean, who can answer that? I went for the essentials. Teller, Tillmans, Ari, Dido, Eggleston, Araki, Edstrom. One person, one camera. No bullshit. Just good pictures."
Designers Puppets and Puppets share some of their new works, starring a legit-looking chunky cookie on a bag, organically shaped candles alongside a pack of gluten-free Yehuda Matzeh-style squares, and a library including books by Robert Rauschenberg and Notorious Sotsas in the background. Graphic designer and creative director Ben Gunz builds a sculpture. Material: a handheld Dyson vacuum cleaner, a single Nike special edition sneaker, a spring bouquet of flowers, a book, and a framed image of balloons.
Photographer Richie Tallboy pictures open pages of magazines neatly displayed on a rug. The works shown include talent Bruce Weber, Steven Meisel, Björk, M.M. Paris, Inez Vinood, Mario Sorrenti, and Man Ray. Art director and writer Jordan Richmond plays with reality in all its physical states. Are cigarettes floating in a watery ashtray the physical symbol of creativity and progress? He answers with temporality. Designers Vaquera sent a rack of clothes. They say,
"Reference is such an important aspect of our creative process. We love to go reference garment hunting. In a way, our collections are crazy mashups, reinterpretations of our favorite treasures."
Photographer Brigitte Lacombe uses a stack of books as a MacBook stand. Noah Davis by David Swerner, the fall 2020 issue of the Gagosian magazine, Pour l'amour de Beyrouth, A Right Day of Darkness, an Apple box of AirPods, Thomas Demand House of Cards, and a Dior monograph. Highest Nobiety editor-in-chief Tom Batridge sends a written note that reads, "I'm more of a words guy, and my favorite print items always look so sad when I take pictures of them. So here's a list. Old magazines. The less timeless, the better. I call magazines books with an expiration date. So looking at them when they are suspended out of the moment they were made for is very inspiring and helps unravel their form. In particular, my old issues of Spy, Nest, Vanity Fair, Colors, Details, and Domus are very important to me. Daily newspapers. The bad ones like the New York Post, the headlines and the recipes for making pure words and stock imagery engaging are so strong to study for any current or aspiring editor. The fall 2003 issue of Abercrombie & Fitch Quarterly by Bruce Weber and Slavoj Žižek, the piece of codex that made me want to become an editor. Content by Rem Koolhaas, OMA, the other document that made me want to become an editor. Madonna's sex book, an artifact I always knew about but discovered firsthand later in life. There's just something so perfect about it that any editor can revisit and get inspired by. These juicy bits of inner monologue edited by Glenn O'Brien, obviously the really wild images by Steven Meisel, By Fabian Baron adds this kind of picture book quality that combines word and image into something more than the sum of their parts. XX Tom. Artist Joshua Zitarella shares a screenshot of his digital book club, The Official Sleeper Cell Reading List, featuring Capitalist Realism by Mark Fisher, Four Futures by Peter Fraser, After Geoengineering, Climate Tragedy, Repair and Restoration by Holly Jane Buck, The Xenofeminist Manifesto by Laboria Kubenix, The People's Republic of Walmart, An American Utopia by Frederick Jameson, and The Dispossessed by Ursula K. Le Guin. He says,
have dramatically reshaped legacy, alt, and social media. As mainstream platforms become increasingly sanitized, counter-politics and counter-culture will move off-platform into dark forest spaces. Our online community, the Discord, reading group, blog, and more now operate as a pseudo-institutional space where artists can discuss complex issues outside of both social media and the university setting.
Anna Maria Spisa sends an email from her living room during lockdown.
At home to deal with any issues of aesthetics in as abstract a way as possible. Recovering myth, archetype, uses and customs of the time to elaborate a future firmly on memory. In order to intercept the present, you have to be two steps ahead and further back than current events. I will return to the wild obsession with which I studied Air du Temps. To make it more clinical, a surgery of madness. As in autumn on the trees, in mature age fall the small leaves of the details. Remain the branches in their relation with the roots, and you go back to the leaves knowing which ones will last.
6. Avant-garde. I briefly want to mention that I came up with the topic for this first issue after reading Clement Greenberg's essay Avant-garde and Kitsch. He wrote this in 1938, and back then he believed that the cultural avant-garde had to prevent the dumbing down of culture perpetuated by consumerism and the Industrial Revolution. So there was a real antagonism between the style of the avant-garde and the rising movement of consumerist kitsch. 82 years later, I argue that the visual layers of art and commerce have entirely merged. We explore his essay, Avant-garde and Kitsch, in juxtaposition via two fashion editorials. The first shoot, running under the title Avant-garde, sets out to create a fantasy with a futuristic feel, devoid of any context to reality. We were influenced by the Versace campaign Fall-Winter 98-99, shot by Steven Meisel, Björk All Is Full of Love music video by Chris Cunningham in 1999, and Jean-Paul Gaultier's fragrance perfume ad from the 2000s. Photography by Richie Tallboy, creative direction by Katerina Korpjun, styling by Daniel Gaines, the model is Sasha Pivovarova at IMG, makeup Dan Duran, hair Lucas Wilson, nails Nori, set design by Javier Irugoyen, casting by Caroline Mara, studio Seven Light. We see a still life of a long, swanky silver fish lying in a nest-like shape on an illuminated surface. The colors are cold, dramatic, yet futuristic in feel. On the next page, we see a portrait cropped above the chest of supermodel Sasha Pivovarova, starring this editorial as an alien-like goddess warrior. She faces away from the camera with a gaze expressing intrigue. A low bun, dark graphic eyeshadow, an ice-cold, shiny, wet skin. Bandages wrap around her body. The space is undefined, borderless, only framed by light. Turning the page, we see the full look. A white ensemble corset dress by Fecal Matters, and silver distal rings by Chris Habana. Sasha looks like a vivid sculpture, body and gaze face the camera. Her hands delicately caress an egg-shaped heavy stone resting on her lap with her legs graciously crossed. The scenery changes. We enter a darker mood. Sasha is lying in an archival Alexander McQueen silk gown that looks like it's made from liquid, and a matching metal mask by Manuel Albaran, a warrior from the future, fragile yet techno. Lying on a luminous surface, half erected, Sasha wears a custom veil dress in nude by Chaplin Tyler, covering her face and upper body. Her left hand holds a metal shield, the knight's armor. We turn the page. Wind is blowing. Sasha's long mane pulled up in a high ponytail blows in the wind. Holding a sword in her left hand, she wears an archival Yves Saint Laurent dress with shimmering golden metal plates. In the next page, we see a portrait of Sasha. Hands wearing surgical gloves are in the midst of tying electrical straps onto the temples of her face. She is in full surrender, wearing an archival Paco Rabanne chainmail dress with an archival Gucci dress underneath. We wonder, is she still among us? She seems to have left her body. Next time we see her, she is curled as an embryo-like shaped bride. Light surrounding her. Sasha wears a dress and veil by Saint Cintra and a metal headpiece by Manuel Albarrán. The epitome of elegance. An eerie void. What does the future hold? In the final image, Sasha gazes at the viewer, one eye covered by a transparent stone, inverting her gaze. Is it defeat or eternal insight we are looking at? The second shoot, under the title Kitsch, explores an American catalogue in an identity crisis. We ask, can low fashion be high fashion, featuring all American mall brands? Our references for this section were The Gap Catalogues, Brooke Shields' Calvin Klein ad from 1980 by Richard Avedon, and the Abercrombie & Fitch quarterlies by Bruce Weber. Photography by Richie Tallboy, creative direction by Katerina Corpune, styling Daniel Gaines, model is Issa Lish at Elite, makeup Grace Ahn, hair Lucas Wilson, casting Sean Dizan, studio Work Studios. We look at a close-up of a derriere, a butt, wearing an Yves Saint Laurent khaki print bikini bottom. The colors are warm, think tanning studio. Turning the page, we are greeted by Issa Lish, horizontally bent in a shimmery tank top, Minnetonka boots, tribal necklaces, a chunky pearl earring, and very hot, hot pants. Coachella is calling. Written next to her in hot pink is Clement Greenberg's quote, "Kitsch is the first universal culture ever beheld." The next pages are various takes on commercially infused studio shots, picturing all types of avant basic catalog girls, juxtaposed with quotes on kitsch. A pink tiger print bikini bottom by Team Studio cheekily pokes out of a David Cassavant cargo pants. Issa's expression reveals full American dream girl serenity. Her long red hair is made to fly by an artificial wind machine. Her shimmering, rusty-colored eyeshadow reflects the studio lights. Isn't kitsch just the hypocrisy of luxury, is what Alexis de Tocqueville asked, selling a reduced bite-sized version of the real deal to the masses, a move that ultimately only benefits the elite. Issa sways in a total jeans look constructed with pieces by Ralph Lauren and Levi's. The conclusion of our reflection on avant-garde and kitsch is that postmodernism moved on from looking at them as opposites. Today's visual fabric plays with mixing elements of the two. Instead of looking at cultural production as a scene of a mythical battle between good and bad, we need to relax our definition of taste. The final editorial of this issue is a love letter to New York creatives. This editorial idea was sparked by a series of portraits of award-nominated actors in Los Angeles for W Magazine shot by Jürgen Teller. Confronted with the stark reality of a post-COVID New York, we wanted to portray no Hollywood, no Jürgen Teller, just the leftovers of diehard New Yorkers willing to make it up from scratch, questioning if Teller's spiel with kitsch and irony could point to something sincere. Love Letter is a series of portraits of Rebecca Campbell and Sasha Melnichuk's close friends wearing their close friends who happen to be up-and-coming New York brands. Pictured in the streets of New York are Alix Vernet, Grace Albom, Lua Beaulieu, Richie Shazam, Ruby Aldridge, Nikki Takesh, Mateus Lima, Paige Reifler, J. Jordan Daniels, Fred Razuk, Alicia Mercy, Zohar, Lexi Smith, Bunny, Niagara, Denny Bowen, Sarah Hiromi, Kay Kenyetti, Kay Kasperhauser, Daniel Arnold, Amma Elsesser, Nick Sethi, Irina Rissi, Sahara Lin, Choi Chun, Yasmin Gertz, Sasha Furlova, Erin Momsen, Lida Fox, Corey, Sasha Melnichuk, and Rebecca Campbell herself. The pictures are accompanied by little love notes written by Rebecca that can be accessed over the online platform. Please visit paradigmtrilogy.com to sign up for our newsletter to not miss the next two issues, and follow us on Instagram at paradigmtrilogy. Thank you so much for listening and stay safe.